If you'll take your Bibles out, please, and turn to Ephesians chapter 6. We're looking at a familiar passage of Scripture this morning. If you've been in church a long time, you've probably heard it preached a couple of times. I've heard it preached several times, but I've learned something about it in the last week or so that I'd like to share with you. Maybe makes it look a little bit differently, maybe, than we had taken it in the past. I've learned where it's pointed, and I did not know that before. With 57 years of teaching, I didn't know it. In Ephesians chapter 6, in verse 11 through verse 18, we'll just read it first, and we'll go back over it, take it apart a little bit. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. This is Scripture about prayer. I never had it explained to me like that. But it's quite obvious once you see it that that's where it's going. This whole thing about the discussion about putting on God's armor is about your prayer life. That is the thing in your life that keeps you out from under the persecution of Satan. Is your prayer life. Maybe sometimes you've noticed that it's hard to pray. And other times you've noticed that it's easy to pray. I want you to recall, as we look at this, that time that Jesus spent in Gethsemane in that garden that night before he was taken to be crucified. Probably in Scriptures, at least as far as I know, that was the most the hardest time for him of any other time he had here on this earth. If you will think for a minute, even in the wilderness after not eating for 40 days, he didn't have near the problems that he had in Gethsemane that night that he prayed. There is a lot went on in that garden while he prayed that the Bible doesn't speak of. I can only guess what it was. But Jesus knew full well where he was going and what he was going to have to go through. And I think the thing that upset him the most would even have to be separated from God the Father for a while. And you see, that's one thing he had never done. Through all of the experiences he'd had down here, he had never been separated. Now, I think there's something else you need to understand. It was God's love that caused Jesus to be sacrificed so that we might be saved. Jesus' obedience what carried him to the cross. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. It says that Jesus was glorified by the Father because of his obedience to that love that the Father had for us. Maybe that's not important to you in the way it's divided, but it has become to me. Because in all things, Jesus, in the time that he had here on this earth, was an example to us of obedience. That was the bottom line of every single thing he did, and he wanted to show us how to be obedient. And that's what we're to do. Now verse 11 says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Interesting here, the Greek word that is defined whole armor could probably be better described as heavy armor, because it was the Roman soldier, those that Paul spent so much time with, that was probably he had his mind on when he made this analogy in the scripture. The Roman soldier was the most heavily armed of them all. An Israelite soldier in heavy armor hardly had anything on. Nothing protected his legs. The shields were small, and he had short swords. The light armor of the Israelite soldier was nothing but a spear and a sling, usually. The Greeks then were next, but the Roman soldier was the one who was heavily armored. And that's what it's talking about here. Put on the whole armor, the heavy armor. When Paul spoke of this, he was making that definition there. I'm not talking about the other soldier's armor. I'm talking about a Roman soldier's armor. What is the purpose there that we put on the heavy armor of God? One word. One word. It's not to fight. He never said sick 'em. There's one word. Stand. That we might be able to stand. They say in the service in the battlefield, and I've spent my time, but I never was on the battlefield. But they say the hardest thing on the battlefield is at a time when the bombs are falling and the enemy is coming wide open, is to find a man who doesn't lose his head. When everybody around is losing their head, somebody has got to keep theirs. This is the picture here that Paul is creating at a time spiritually. When you are under attack from the satanic forces of the world, this is a time you need to be prepared to stand. When everybody else is running, you need to stand. They said on the Titanic that after the ship, the unsinkable ship, struck the iceberg and it began to go down, and everybody who had taken fare on the unsinkable ship found themselves in a situation where they were going to the bottom. They said from the survivors, the cry that was heard the most is, who's in charge? Who is in charge? They wanted somebody to step up and take charge without fear, not with panic, but in a calm, strong voice says, do this. That what I believe is what Paul is talking about here when he says that ye may be able to stand. Now, it talks on down here about something. I'll go ahead and talk about it a little bit to bring this out before we get too deeply into this passage. It talks about in that evil day. What evil day? That day when Satan attacks you. Do you remember what Jesus said in the 17th chapter of John in the prayer in the garden before he was taken by those soldiers and carried to the court? He prayed that we might be kept from the evil one. You remember what it says in 1 Peter, we dealt with it here in the last few weeks. Satan, like a roaring lion, goes to and fro across the earth, seeking whom he will devour. Now, I've watched my TV, I've seen those shows in Africa and whatever when you got a man-eater, or in India when you've got a man-eater on the loose. Nobody sleeps unless somebody's watching. The analogy was made that the heart never takes a holiday. If it does, then the grave is next. For the Christian, because you are in the country where a man-eater is roaring about looking who he can devour, you cannot take a spiritual or moral holiday. If you find yourself seemingly in a position where it seems hard to pray, and all of a sudden a need to pray has been placed on you, and you think, why can't I pray? Your first thought should be, well, what have I done in the last few days? Have I taken a spiritual holiday? Have I been in my book as much as I need be? Have I been in prayer as much as I need be? Have I been communicating with God as much as I need to have? Taking a vacation from God. When I'm taking a vacation from God, I'm the least able. When my prayer life is not what it should be, I'm the least able to stand a satanic attack. Now it says in verse 12, it identifies the enemy. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. That is the satanic world. That is our enemy. It's a very complex situation. This thing right here, the words in the Greek, imply that it's a very organized, worldwide structure of evil. And different demons have assignments for different areas. I've said something about it once or twice, but I thought it was really a thought to think of, that if the demons in this area and angels, demons are angels that have fallen, so demons don't die and are being born, they're created beings, so they've lived forever. So the demon who is assigned to this part of the country knew my great-grandfather and my grandfather and my father, and he knows me, and he knows my kids, and he knows my grandkids. He knows where my weaknesses are. If there's any genetic weaknesses in the family, he knows about them. If there are mental weaknesses in the family, he knows about them. If there are habitual weaknesses, he knows about them. The point I'm trying to say is, your demons know a great deal more about you than you'll ever know about them. And they use that to try to separate you from God in such a way that as a Christian, you cannot be any value to God. So verse 13 says, Stand therefore. Here's the command again. He wants to make sure that you understand. So stand. You know, when Satan is after you, and we all talk about Satan being after us, I think really in my life I've only experienced a direct attack from Satan's bigger forces, maybe not him himself, because I don't think I'm very important enough for him to stop what he's doing to come bother with somebody like me. I'm not that much of a threat. But of those who are under him, I think I've probably only experienced great attacks from the satanic world just in the last 6 or 7 years. I believe I have. I thought all those things before were satanic attacks, but now that I'm learning what a real satanic attack is, they weren't a drop in the bucket. Most of them were repercussions from my lack of being what God wanted me to be. They came out of my own self. And therein lies the problem. Christ went through agony in the garden. And one of the things he went through agony for is so that we might go to the throne room of God with boldness anytime we want to. It's not the access that's hard to attain. It's trying to overcome our laziness. Therein lies the problem. What does he say? If you abide in me and my word abides in you, then you will be able to what? Ask anything you want, get it. Here again, the answer is prayer. If you do what you're supposed to be able to do, your prayer life will be strong, he says. And with a strong prayer life, Satan can't get to you. Stand, therefore, verse 14. Excuse me. Wherefore, take unto you, verse 13, the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. I like what Vestal Goodman said one time. When you've done all you can, just stand there. Just stand there. It couldn't be said by a person who probably understood it any better. But I want to draw your attention to something. It says in verse 13, take unto ye. There is a directive there, a command. You take it. It's not given to you. It's there and it's there for you. But you got to take it. You've got to want it. You've got to recognize what it is. You've got to understand what it's going to do in your life in order for you to put your prayer life in the place that it needs to be. So that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And like I said, the evil day, when Satan comes. Now, I don't know about you. But there's a couple of times that I'm quite sure that one of Satan's big boys, I mean, he used one of his muscle men on me, and it's a horrible thing. It's not some little bitty thing. It's a horrible thing. Sometimes it involves pain because Satan came to kill, maim, and destroy. And he'll put pain on you. He'll put confusion on you. You'll be hurting so bad you don't know what to do. You'll be so disturbed. You'll be so messed up in the head, as a fellow said. You don't know what to do. And this is the time that you need that strength so you'll be able to stand. Not go fight. This is not about fighting. This is about standing. The picture that I have in my mind is when Satan approached Jesus in the wilderness after 40 days of fasting. And I got the impression that Satan's right in his face saying, why don't you do this? Why don't you do that? Why don't you do this? You remember what Jesus did? He looked him right back in the face and gave him what? Scriptures. He quoted scriptures to him. That was the way he dealt with him. He stood square. He looked him right in the face without any kind of panic, without any kind of upset, with perfect control of his senses, and quoted scripture to him. I think that's what God would have us do. Peter says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. It's preached into some denominations that you can bind Satan. I find no place in my word for that. And I believe you better not try to find it. Or try to do it. I think you better not think you got him bound and turn your back on him. Because if Gabriel couldn't curse him in his own name, if he had to do it in the name of Jesus, Satan, another angel, If Michael and Gabriel are the archangels, they're the head angels now in heaven. And Satan was the head angel. They know who he is. They know how to deal with him. And they wouldn't deal with him in their own name. They weren't strong enough. They had to deal with him in the name of Jesus. So, we're dealing with satanic underworld. You cannot deal with him on your basis. You can't fight with him like you do, like you fight with other people. You can't fight with him like you can flesh and blood. 20-something years ago, when I did a little bit of studying in this witchcraft thing and satanic world, I found out there are rules in there that don't apply to what we do out here. And if you're going to get anything accomplished in that world, you've got to do it that way. It's just like with God. And he's trying to show us here, this is the way you need to protect yourself in the spirit world. Verse 14. Stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth. The phrase loins girded about had to do with a belt. It was a belt that the Roman soldier, a big, wide, heavy belt, that he hung that big Roman broadsword on. So Paul here has said, if we're going to use armor as the analogy, the belt, that part of the armor that's the belt, we call truth. And having on the breastplate of righteousness. We have been talking about your choice between righteousness and sin ever since we've been up here. So you choose righteousness. You choose to do righteousness. And verse 15. And your feet shod with the word they use as preparation in the early Hebrew. It was the readiness of the gospel of peace. It says in Proverbs that a man that can't control his own spirit's like a city without walls. You make yourself vulnerable to Satan and all his forces when you have a tendency to lose your temper. Lose it one time, cuss a fella out, and then go back and try to witness to that fella. See what happens. Won't work. Won't work. Beat a man, steal from a man, and go back and try to share God with him. You can't do it. You can't do it. You ask somebody at the church, and they say, isn't that the church where so-and-so goes? Well, yeah. To me 17 years ago. They never forget it. They never do. So in order to have all the protection you need against Satan, you need to have an attitude of peacefulness. Not to fight, but of peace. Above all, take the shield of faith, with which ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. The Roman shield. The word in the Greek for the Roman shield was as a door. It's the biggest shield that was used by any soldier of that time. And they called it like a door. It was a big thing. And it just about covered everything from the knees up. I would think if somebody's shooting at me, I'd want a door. Not those little bitty things some of them had. Taking the shield of faith, with which ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, whatever he shoots at you, if you have faith, you can handle it. That's what Satan is after, is your faith. We can't do that. We can't make it happen. It's not going to work. Better not try that. It's too much for us. That's what gets us. That's what gets us. And that's the attitude Satan wants you to have. Verse 17. And take the helmet of salvation. The helmet of salvation. The one thing you can't lose is your head. You may fight with a slash in your arm. You may fight with a slash anywhere else on your body. You might have a broken leg. I remember those black guys down in Tuskegee went on that place we used to, 3 or 4 days after we got married, Judy killed 72 water moccasins. 72. They were everywhere. And the only way they'd let you leave a moccasin that you killed was to cut his head off, as they said, right behind his ears, if he's got ears. Because they said if you leave him 7 or 8 inches, he'll be flopping around, and if somebody gets close enough, he's just biting at everything. He could even bite you after you cut him in two. I think about that when I think about the helmet, because it's the only thing, the only piece of armor that a Roman soldier wore that went all the way around. Because you can't lose your head in battle. Literally, you cannot lose your head in battle. You can lose anything else and still fight, but you can't lose your head. Now, I want to make an observation here. 1 Thessalonians calls the helmet the hope of salvation. The thing that protects you, protects the very core of who you are as a Christian. Because the head is the one thing you can't lose. The thing that protects you is salvation. And if you don't have it, all this other stuff's no good. The very core of who you are is your salvation. But I want to make an observation. We've got the belt. We've got the breastplate. We've got those metal things on the front of your feet. All of those were defensive weapons. All of them were defense operations. They were in front. If you turned your back on the enemy, you didn't have any protection. The only protection you had running away from the enemy was that helmet in the back of your head. Your whole backside was exposed. So if they're shooting arrows at you without, even with the armor, you had no protection whatsoever. Because it wasn't around behind. There was no armor to protect you if you cut and run. What I'm trying to say. The only protection you have, according to Paul and to God, is to stand and face Satan. Now think about it a minute and see if we're not doing it a little bit backwards. Okay, let's use it. What are you doing hanging out in that bar? Didn't you used to have a little bit of a drinking problem? Well, yeah, but I can handle it. I can handle it. Don't have to worry about that. The Scripture says to flee temptation. You're supposed to run from your weaknesses. If you've got a weakness, you're supposed to run from them. But you resist Satan. You stand and look him square in the face. And whatever he comes at you with, you use your one offensive weapon. And that's what Jesus did. All of this is so consistent. Look at the next part of verse 18. I'm 17. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. You've got one offensive weapon to deal with Satan. And that's the Word. And that's what Jesus used, the Word. When Satan came at him, he threw scriptures back at him. Now let me ask you something. How big is your soul? How many scriptures do you know? If Satan starts coming at you with all these kind of crazy things, how many scriptures can you throw back at him? How many do you know to throw back at him? A study of the Word and a knowledge of the Word is tremendously necessary to have any kind of offensive weapon against Satan. And then look at verse 18. Praying always. Praying always. Whoa, whoa, whoa. We've been talking about armor up here. Where is this coming from? It was pointed at praying all the time. That's one thing I never saw before. Because in my Bible, it's got a break there. And it acts like it's talking about a different thing. But it's not. They should have never put this break in here. Because what all of this armor is talking about is about prayer. So you'll be able to pray. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. In is a place. Praying in the Spirit is praying in a place. What place? Under the control of the Spirit of God. How many of your prayers are about something you need material that God has already said He's going to supply? When we pray in the Spirit, many times, most of the time probably, what does it say? It's about somebody else. And watching, therefore, with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Let me tell you something. James and John and Peter were in the garden that night with Jesus. Do you remember what He told them? You remember what He told them? Watch and pray. I've got written in the margin of my Bible, watch for what? I didn't want to forget because I wanted to keep studying until I figured out just exactly what they were told to watch for. Their commandment from their Lord, as He was going through the most trouble He had ever been in on this earth, was two words, watch and pray. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit and watching. So then I'm saying to you, Jesus' commandment to you today is to watch and pray. In this case right here, I think I've figured out what watching is. What am I supposed to watch for? Did you know that if you have a bad thought in your mind and you don't get it out of there and leave it there, that God says He won't hear your prayers? If you know if you don't pray in His will, He won't hear your prayer. In 1 John it says that. Do you know that if you leave the house in the morning with an undealt with argument with your wife, husband, your prayers will be hindered? Don't leave the house after a spat with your wife without dealing with it. Because if you get a call at 10 o'clock and your kids or grandkids or close friends are in a jam, you're going to need your prayer power. And 1 Peter chapter 3 says you won't have. Well, wait a minute now. If prayer doesn't work in all those little situations, how many times does it work? What am I supposed to watch for? I'm supposed to watch for people who are exhibiting signs of me of being in a situation, God's people, Christians, that are in no position to pray. And what am I supposed to do? Supplication for all the saints. If you know something about what keeps prayers from being answered, and you look around, you'll see a lot of people who are in no condition to pray. They just said something. That if you know about what causes answered prayer, you'll know that they can't pray and get answers. And it's your job to watch them and to pray for them, that they may have what God wants them to have. Because you see, if you understand what this thing about praying and having your armor on, there's not going to be a lot of people you know that are like that. And if you understand it and you can maintain it in your life, you will have a power in prayer that all of your brothers and sisters in Christ needs. All your acquaintances needs. You'll wind up like old Samuel in the Old Testament. Every time they needed something, they ran to Samuel. You know why? Because when Samuel prayed, things happened. I mean, they happened quick and they happened right now. And I mean, it was obvious that he had power with God. So what do we do? We are equipped to pray by putting on the armor of God, the kind that God says we're supposed to have, so that we'll be in a position not only to pray for ourselves, but to have ourselves in a place where God can bless us, but where we can be a blessing to other people. Stand, so that ye might stand. The next time someone comes to me and says, I think I'm under attack from Satan, what's happening? Ooh, maybe you are. So what do I do, brother? You stand. You stand. You stand. Let's pray. Father, teach us what your solutions are. Make us aware that the way we fight is no good in the spirit world. That we can't deal with satanic forces like we deal with earthly forces. That our ways of handling situations are not going to work. That the only thing that's going to work is going to be what you've told us to do. Lord, have us go back over this. Look at it in our own lives, in our own quiet times, in our own prayer times. See if you've got a special message for each of us that we might be able to individualize, if you will, some of these things that will be in such a way that we will have power in prayer and power to use it. Teach us your ways, that we might be able to stand against Satan. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.